according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to the person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now, sit down and eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On June 13th in 1928, John Nash was born in West Virginia. As he grew, it was clear that he had an ability in mathematics, and after receiving his PhD from Princeton University, he became one of the most noted mathematicians in his field. He is specifically known for his contributions to game theory, real algebraic geometry, differential geometry, and partial differential equations. Now, if you're like me, all of that went right over your head. But his genius was put to work by the United States government, particularly the CIA, in breaking codes. He was especially gifted in this way because of his ability to see patterns where none existed. He wanted to believe everything was connected. Groups of pictures, newspaper articles on a page, even events in people's lives. He could look at them and he could see purpose. He could see order, he could see meaning by connecting the senseless together. Perhaps this skill would be useful for us this morning as we go through our gospel lesson from Luke. This morning we find ourselves in the middle of Luke's gospel, and things so far have been going along very smoothly. Jesus is teaching, and when he does, often we have to kind of stand back, think for a few minutes to try to understand exactly what it is he's trying to say. But today, we are hit with a quick list of teachings that seem to come at us very quickly, out of context, and quite random. Don't cause little ones to sin. Forgive your brother over and over. Increases of faith, mustard seeds, and agriculture. And finally, unworthy servants. Are there dots to connect together here? Is there a pattern in the disorder, in the randomness of these teachings? Is there sense to be made of all of this together? Well, first we have to sort of look at the context of where this is coming in our gospel. Last week, we heard Jesus telling us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And after our reading today comes the event of Jesus healing the 10 lepers with only one returning to give thanks. So in between this reading that does not seem to be connected to belief and faith of Lazarus, or to the faith of the leper. This is a reading that requires a quick and a different response from the hearer for each statement that Jesus makes. Perhaps then what we often try to do with this is we try to take these things that come at us quickly, apply it to how we like to live our own lives to make sense out of what Jesus said, a way of tying all of these loose ends together, hoping to distill them down into a concise meaning. But you know, our lives aren't that way, are they? Our lives rarely go smoothly. They are much just like the format of our text. I had a friend years ago describe to me what it was like sturgeon fishing on the Columbia River. He said, "It's hours of boredom interrupted by moments of pandemonium." Unfortunately, our lives as we live today seem to be the exact opposite. Near constant pandemonium or chaos or unrest interrupted by very short periods of relaxation and rest. We are constantly dealing with unconnected and disjointed events, each one of them requiring a quick response before the next one arrives. So we find ourselves exhausted each day dealing with more and more, forcing us to go above and beyond. And that's exactly what our Lord is calling us to do in this reading. He is calling us to deal with these situations that arrive that are increasingly difficult when it comes to our faith, just like we do in our daily lives. Don't cause little ones to sin. Well, that seems to be quite an issue today, doesn't it? With all of the social movements that are taking place across our nation. But we understand what Jesus is saying, so we do the best to protect our children, so we can kind of check that one off, no problem. Forgive people over and over. Now, this one's not so easy. We often get tired of being hurt by the same people over and over. But we also know that because of our own sinfulness, we need that same forgiveness over and over. So this is much harder, but we can do it. Small faith, see, now it's starting to hurt. Because if we can't do what Jesus says we should be able to do, then do we have any faith at all? But we keep at it. We work hard at what our Lord would have us do, only to hear you did your duty. No one's raising a flag for us. No one's putting our name in lights. You simply did what was expected. Kind of a letdown, isn't it? Going along so well, working so hard at what the Lord wants for us, only to hear, so what? You did what you were supposed to do. If you feel let down, you are not alone. It can drive people to despair. Remember Peter? In his great confession, "You are the Christ." And not long after that, we see him weeping in the garden after denying Jesus three times. What about John the Baptist? He stands on the riverbanks and declares for the whole world to hear, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then later he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we look for someone else?" This can be really difficult. It's like playing dodgeball as a kid, but you're the only one on the other side, and you have those balls flying at you from all directions. Is this what the disciples felt like, hearing this teaching from Jesus? Is this the reason that the prophet Habakkuk wrote in his book, "Destruction and violence is all around me, strife and contention arise"? But this is what they and we signed up for. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him pick up his cross and follow." So in our own lives, seemingly random events pop up, pressed in between family and friends, work and play, church and home, that requires us to navigate all of them by faith. And where does it leave us? Right where our text leaves us, as unworthy servants.
unworthy because, unlike the math professor, we cannot make sense out of our sinful lives. We work and we fail. We try a different direction and we get lost. It's a constant reminder that because of our sinful nature, when all is said and done, our only actions can be as unworthy servants. None of us would go to a very expensive restaurant for dinner and then invite the server to sit down and share that dinner with us. That wouldn't make any sense. The text says that if you have servants at home, you wouldn't do that either. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He who had all the servants in the universe did that very thing. Jesus, sent by the Father, came to earth, washed the feet of the disciples, and spread a banquet before them, a feast of his body and blood. That truly is the one event that makes the least sense of all. And yet, his actions help us make sense of our lives. The randomness, the confusion, our inability to do as we should, even our unworthiness, all lead us to rely on him, the master who came to serve us. Even that makes no sense. Why would God himself come down and take on our sin so that we could receive his righteousness? Why? Because that's who God is. He takes what we cannot understand and says, "Lean on me, and I will make sense of all of it." It is through faith that we see God taking over for us, making sense of the senseless world, even if that faith is as small as a mustard seed. John Nash was able to see connections, to see patterns in everything he encountered. He was also about completely insane, suffering through schizophrenia. But we don't need someone like him. We have the Holy Spirit who helps us. Forgiveness of sins in the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus, senseless, but not for those who see Jesus through the eyes of faith. For those who see him this way, see him as the one who went above and beyond for us, his unworthy servants. Amen.